everybody, to What's Eating You. I'm your host, Brian Yang, with
Ariel Yeti.
This is a food and culture podcast about the intersection of food and culture, where we interview guests who also love food and culture. And our guest today is Renee Paquette, formerly Renee Young with the WWE, now a podcaster and brand new cookbook author. The book is out today.
Whoop, whoop. Is that the book?
This is her in all she of her glory. Good. Oh baby, it's amazing. Ooh. What a little makeup and hair can do.
I love it. Looks like it's got a lot of girth to it.
Yeah, it's a good book.
You know what, it's not too bad. She brings a lot to the party, I feel.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I like the title, Messy in the Kitchen.
Thank you. Yeah, you know what? Coming up with a title was honestly one of the hardest parts of figuring out. Like, it's like I'm about to have a baby as well, and it's like naming a person. It's like, oh my God, yeah. This is forever. Right. This is the branding. It's very stressful. Branding. So, yeah, it's her branding. It's my branding. Yeah, it's all of those things.
That's so true. If you think about Julia Child's cookbook that everyone has, that lasted forever.
Forever. Yeah. Yeah, if you don't have that cookbook, I don't know what to say to you.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I absolutely do not have it, but I know it because everyone
Fair
does.
Fair enough. Then we'll have to get you one. You
Thank
need
you
to
so
have
much.
One.
Wow. Already
need,
getting
like,
me gifts.
It's
really
for kitchen cred. You need it.
Yes, that's true. Yes. That's true. That's fair.
You need a few pieces of Bourdain stuff, some Julia Child stuff.
Yes. And, you know, a little Ina Garten for fun. Yeah, the Bourdain ones are always great.
That's my thing. I mostly. I mostly have Ina. I can show you my Ina collection. I have no problem.
You know what? I feel like there's parallels and I'm into it. It's fine.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
No problem.
Oh, Renee. So I don't know if Brian told you this, but every episode we talk about what's eating you. So something that's gone on this week that is just has grinded your gears a little bit. Or if you don't have anything negative to say, we usually do. You can say what's feeding you, something positive that happened to you this week that you are very happy about.
Well, mine kind of go hand in hand. Because all my stuff is very positive, but it can also be very stressful. So, I mean, I'm 9 months pregnant. My book came out today.
Oh, my God. Imagine if you had the baby on the pod.
Right?
That would be great for us.
It could still happen.
My water broke. It would be great if I birthed a child and a book all the
Oh my God.
Both
yeah.
children, really.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Both required a lot of love and care and attentiveness. but yeah, I would say this week has been, it's been a mixture of both all of the best things combined with being as stressed out as one can possibly be.
Okay.
You know, of like trying to do... You know, you're doing all of the media. You're trying to, like, get the book out to people. You're making sure it's sent out to all the right people it needs to go out to. I'm also doing my podcast. So I'm doing all these interviews and trying to do all the research for that. My mom has just moved out to Las Vegas from Canada. So she's here. Oh, wow. She's getting ready. She's getting acclimated. I'm getting kicked in the ribs constantly. My bladder is very untrustworthy at this point. I constantly need a nap. And there's no time for any of these things. So it's all the good and the bad. I mean, it's stuff that I've worked really hard on, and it's all just accumulating at the exact same moment, but it's also the best.
Yeah.
I think that sounds amazing because it sounds like you're so busy. It's overwhelming, but it also feels good to be busy at the same time.
Yes. I love being busy. And that's my problem when I'm not busy. Like I actually had on Sunday, I did absolutely nothing. Which is very rare, and I loved it, but I woke up the next day being like, oh, this needs to be done, and this needs to be done, and like all of a sudden I'm like back to being on fire of feeling like I had a day off and I was slacking and that I need to like pick it back up again.
Wow, Renee, my What's Eating You is similar to yours, but very different. I can only do one thing per day. Mm-hmm. Or then I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. So I did something on Sunday. I went to an event and had to schmooze with people and it was exhausting and I'm still recovering and it's been 3 days since
schmoozing's
Sunday.
A lot of work. I don't think people understand. Well, I mean, people do understand, but it's like, oh, you go to a party, you got to hang out, but it's like, you got to be on. Mm-hmm. You got to like have the right amount of drinks to still keep it together, but still being fun.
I don't know how to do that anymore.
Floating around the room. I'm really bad. I'll just find someone and just stay there. I'll just get like stuck.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
Because that's more fun. Why the am I? It's not my party. Yes. So I don't need to do that. Exactly. But people don't realize that as a girl, it's more difficult. Like, we have to do our hair and makeup, have an outfit, shoes, pedicure, manicure, the whole thing before the party even happens. I was having stress dreams about this party. So
yeah. No, it's very, very true. I've even been like that, just getting ready for my baby to come out, and not in like, not in the aesthetic sense that I'm like, oh, I need to have all these things done so I look a certain way. Just appointments that I've had booked. I had to go get my hair done, and I'm trying to time out getting my nails done as close to her being here, only so I don't get snags. Like, when I get snags in my nail, it drives me crazy. And because I do a dip manicure, I cannot fix this myself.
Okay.
I have to get someone to help me, so I can't even deal with it on my own.
Man, this is going to be the last manicure you ever get, so it has to be good.
I know.
For 18 years.
Yeah,
like, this is what I'm thinking. It's like, what do you pick? What do you do? I go neutral just to keep it safe. But then I'm like, wait, do I really put something on there and like really make it work? I don't know.
Jazz it up. Whatever. It's the final countdown.
I'll just put her name. I'll get a little detail of her name.
That's the debut of her name. Wow. Ooh. We figured it out. We workshopped this together on the
podcast. That would be huge. Just your hands on Instagram.
Bam.
Yeah.
You'll be like, nice janky nails. I don't know. Throw my moisturizer.
Mine was similar to Ariel's. I went to my first party since the pandemic on Sunday. Everyone was vaccinated, so it was the first maskless indoor thing. And
did you feel weird?
It felt weird. You're like raw dogging air, you know?
Yeah.
It
was so
my face wasn't
raw dogging air.
It's just like,
you are.
And like, you know, like there was that awkward thing of like, do we hug? Like, do we?
Yes.
It's so, you forget that being a human being takes practice, and we were all practiced for every day of our lives until March of 2020. And then we all became weirdos who just never left the house.
We took a lot of steps back. Yeah, no, it's true. Because, you like, do you fist bump? Are people still throwing the elbow out? Are they doing the hug? What are, and like, people's comfort levels are so all over the place.
Exactly.
And even though people are vaccinated, it is a slippery slope.
It's very weird. Like you said, Renee, everyone's at different levels of comfortability.
Yeah.
But you know, like you said, it was the right amount of drinks. By the end of the party, everyone was all over each
other. What is your right amount of drinks, though? What is that?
Oh, I was talking to my buddy Mike. Now it's nothing, because I didn't drink really during the pandemic. I was home.
Same.
So it was like one.
Good for you.
That's good. That's a money saving trick, honestly.
That's how I feel. I'm looking so forward to that first glass of wine after having the baby. I'm like, I'm probably going to be on my ass, so I'm not really sure what's going to happen, because I've not drank in 9 months.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, my wife and I recently went to Hawaii after we both got vaccinated. We're like, we need to leave New York and go on vacation. We had 3 drinks on a boat, and with the way the boat was moving and with the 3 drinks, we were blasted. We're like, this is the best time of our lives. We're toasted. And you know, it's like those watered down cheap drinks you get on the boat, but we were still
That was a good way for you to dip your toe though. That's a good way to get started. You can kind of like ease yourself in. It's not going to be like some stiff, gnarly drink. You'll be okay.
That's
Thank
right.
Thank God. Yeah, I'm not ready for like that first hangover though.
No.
I've loved not having a hangover. You are right now?
Yeah, I'm like keeping it together as much as I possibly can, but after this, I will be going to sleep. It's fine. I had a bottle of champagne. It was a bridal shower, and there was like champagne at every table, and you know, I was the friend that couldn't keep it together. That's fine. That's fine.
So long as you're not puking, though. I'm a big puker when I'm hungover.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Big, oh, no, I'm not a puker. Yeah, like, see? I'll be all day. I'll be in bed. My husband's bringing me, like, brothy soups. It's a shit show. It's bad. He knows my routine. He'll get me, like, ice water. I have, like, you know, like, that Lipton chicken noodle soup that's just, like, yellow with the noodles?
Yeah, it's not good. That's but it's good.
It's what I need.
Pukers puke every time, and they're just I'm a not puker. I'm a hold it in and ride it out.
Same.
My friend Tim pukes every time alcohol touches his lips. Like, it doesn't
I'm not that bad.
But the way pukers are so nonchalant about it.
Yeah. If I'm puking, I've earned it, but I'm like the next day puker. I don't puke when I'm drunk. It's like the hungover.
Yeah.
Oh God. It'll be a long time until I do that though. You know, I still have to like, when you have a baby, you can only have a glass of wine or two. You can't go crazy. Let's not go nuts. Just a little something. So that'll be nice. You know what? I feel like I've like righted my course through this. It means I have to get my shit together.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Renee, I wanted to ask you, so I'm in New York, I'm in Harlem now, but I used to live in Astoria, and I swear I saw you on the train one time.
Yeah,
I love it on Astoria Boulevard, and I was like, that person looks like Renee Young. I'm a big wrestling fan, so I was like, but it can't be, like, why would she live in my neighborhood?
But I lived in your neighborhood.
Yeah, okay.
I did. So,
yeah, I was wondering if you did, yeah.
Yeah, I used to live at Ditmars and 45th.
Oh, yeah. I was on Ditmars in 27th. So we were neighbors.
We were neighbors.
Wow.
Yeah. I loved that neighborhood. I loved living out there.
Astoria was great.
I loved living in Astoria. And when I was like moving out to New York, so I had only been to New York like once or twice prior to me going. It was like in and out, quick little trips. Like I had no lay of the land. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. So when I was moving, I was like, oh, I guess I'll go to Brooklyn. That's supposed to be like the cool thing to do. And then I realized because I had to travel to Stamford, Connecticut weekly. And I was like, that seems a little annoying getting in and out of there. So anyways, I ended up looking in Queens and Astoria was a spot. And what a time I had. Many memories, especially on that NQR line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my husband and line. I would take it to the very end of the line. My husband and I, when we were dating, we would like get like our tall boys, wrap them in a brown paper bag. Like that was the best.
That's because you can grab beers at Penn Station, put them in a brown bag and get home.
Yeah, there's the little corner store like right at the end of the NQR line at Ditmars. So you could hop in there and they also had, I remember like one time specifically getting like the tall boy beers, but they also, it was when they were doing like it was like Doritos combined with a mac and cheese, but they were like these fried like triangles.
Remember this.
We would bring those with us too.
That's
a time. That's, so, what a time capsule.
Ariel, if you don't know, Renee's husband is John Moxley. He's a pro wrestler and formerly Dean Ambrose. My friend Bob, who also lived in Astoria, told me one time that he thought he saw you guys, and I didn't believe him because he told me like that John was in a full neck cast on the train.
Maybe he lives the gimmick, brother.
And I'm like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That he like wore, because people would see you guys. So he's like, I have to do the thing that happened on the show.
I don't remember that specifically, but I do remember he like retained the WWE championship at Madison Square Garden. And then we just like ran out of the show and took the subway back home.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because you would imagine that you guys would get a car or something.
No.
But you're just like a New York comedian like me and Ariel just taking the train.
They're just like us.
World champion on the NQR.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. You got to be humbled by the subway. I love taking the subway. That's the one thing like I truly miss moving out to Las Vegas. Cause like I grew up in Toronto or like outside Toronto, but like I lived in Toronto, lived in New York. So like taking public transport is such a big thing. We're here. It's like, it is not a thing. So I moved out here. I didn't even know what to buy. I got a Mini Cooper car. Cause that's all anyone drives in the city. And my husband's like, why would you buy this?
Right. You need a truck out there, right?
Everyone's totally. Got SUVs. Yeah. I have an SUV now, but he still makes fun of me. He would never get in it. He hated it.
That's
I don't know. It's what people drive in Toronto. It's what people have. I don't know. It's like a small little compact city car.
Did you any favorite spots to eat in Astoria? Because Astoria is very, it's a sleeper area of New York, very good food, and people don't really make it up there because it's kind of out of the way.
Great food. So we would often go to McCann's Pub.
Yes.
That was a big spot for us. We would get the tidbits, which were little chicken morsels with like a tomato sauce on like a garlic bread loaf.
Yes, yes.
That was a big one. That was also my introduction into, I can't remember which brand it is, but this like amazing banana bread beer. It starts with a W. Anyways, that was a big one. We would go to, what is this sushi restaurant we would always order from? Starts with a W as well. Hold on, let me ask.
Okay.
One sec.
This is important.
This is important. I probably ordered from the same sushi place.
I love that you guys were neighbors. That's adorable.
That's so crazy. Yeah. I mean, 20 blocks away.
That's neighbors.
That's in New York. Yeah, we would walk. Yeah. Because she was probably closer to all the restaurants that we would walk up to. So on 30th. So, yeah.
Sorry, guys.
No
worries.
I had
to step away, but he also stepped away, so he can't answer my questions. His memory is much better than mine. What the hell was it called?
I was telling
Delicious
Ariel,
sushi place.
I'm pretty sure I probably ordered from the same place because we live kind of in the same area. So it's probably my sushi spot as well.
What is the name of it? Do you know?
I don't remember either because it's... We've been in Harlem here for 3 years now.
Hold on, I'm looking it up.
Okay,
I must get to the.
Oh, it's Watawa, right?
Watawa.
Yes, that was our spot too.
We gotta get Watawa.
Yeah,
Watawa was our absolute favorite. We would order from there all the time. And then what is the name of that really great Greek restaurant that's like across the street from there?
Taverna, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, I had one of their mugs and it broke. Oh my god, that place was sensational. And then there's that really great beer garden as well.
That was our go-to. We went there almost every weekend. Fantastic.
That place is great.
Yeah.
There was another pub that was over on the other side on Astoria Boulevard that they had poutine. They had like some Canadian food on there. So we would go there sometimes too. I love that neighborhood. I loved being out there so
it was
much.
Great.
And there was did you ever go to the Australian restaurant out there?
What? No, walked by it all the time, never went.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. It was my first time having a kangaroo.
Oh, was it like a burger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was my first time being like, I'm like, is this cooked? Because it looks pink the whole time.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like the way that it's cooked, it always stays really, really pink. But yeah, it was great. That place.
What is the texture of kangaroo?
It's like gamey. Mm. It's very lean. Okay. They just had like a bunch of like really great like vegetable dishes. Yeah, there's the food out in Astoria rules.
It is great and good. A great selection too.
Shout out to Watawa.
Watawa. Yeah.
This is a Watawa episode.
Eating in there was cool too because they had like a little pond.
Yeah. Yes, they did. Yeah.
In the middle of it, which was
yeah. Because if you
crazy.
Went onto the other side, because we would normally sit like around the bar or something, but yeah, on the other side where it's like the actual dining room. It was very fancy. It's like a little like waterfall set up. Yeah.
Check out Watawa.
Look at us.
Look at us go.
I move back now, Renee. You're making
honestly. Oh, I miss it so much.
Wait, Renee. So then tell me about how you feel about food in Canada, where you're from, and the difference between Canada and U.S. food. What would you say is the main difference?
Firstly, one of the main differences that I noticed before we get into like all of the snacks, because the snacks in Canada are exceptional.
Yes.
But I would really notice when I would travel on the road with WWE, I would leave out like my bananas, my bread, and I would expect it all to have been like gone by the time I got home, that like it would have been like past the point of eating. So the hormone levels, I think, in food here is different. They're like, oh my God, how are my bananas still yellow? What?
That's
so things like that would, it's not great, but I mean, for what I was doing,
I was like,
I'll kind of take it. I kind of need these things to
I'm
last
proud
me a little bit longer.
To be an American, where at least my banana's still yellow.
That's very concerning to
hear. I know. Yeah, that was one thing. And it's funny because I always, like, John always says that when we travel, like if we're up in Canada or like we're in the UK or something, he's like, the food here just like, it's harder to digest. I'm like, yeah, I think our like we don't have as many hormones in our food or something. Maybe I don't know what exactly.
I went to
it
Ireland and they had like way more cheeses than we have in America because they can just do anything.
Yes.
And I was like, what is this? And it tasted like it came from like an actual animal instead of
processed. I mean, that's a scary thing too. Well, since I'm pregnant, you can't have like unpasteurized cheese or unpasteurized anything. But when you go to any, like literally any grocery store, pretty much everything here is pasteurized.
Yeah.
So like you're kind of good. But yeah, realizing that, looking at all the labels for things, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess it's like, I don't know. Everything just goes through like some kind of filtration process here. Mm-hmm. But then onto the snacks. So snacks, obviously ketchup chips.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about
what
you guys love ketchup up there.
We love a ketchup chip. They're amazing. There's several different brands. I mean, like Lay's makes them. Humpty Dumpty makes one, which I would put Humpty Dumpty at the very top.
Oh, okay.
Humpty Dumpty chips are very good.
Okay.
We also have a sour cream and bacon chip, smoky bacon, all dressed chips, which you can get in the United States now. Thank God. They don't have them in every state, but we definitely have them here. You guys might have them in New York. I'm not sure.
I've seen them somewhere.
Probably. Yeah, like Ruffles makes them. And okay, honestly, yeah. I would say it's a superior chip. Canada is known for the ketchup chip. I would give the slight edge to the all-dress chip. It's a little zippy. It's zippy. It's salty. It brings everything to the table. It's very palate pleasing.
Is it ranchy?
Uh-huh. It's not ranchy.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, it's not ranchy. It's more on the tangy side.
Okay, I'm into that.
Yeah. Poutine, of course, an exceptional dish. Who doesn't love that?
I feel like poutine's making its way down here.
It should be. Why would America not want this?
It's so
Americans don't make it right. Gravy. I have not had a good American poutine. Like, people try to make it and they fail.
I hadn't. There's a place here called Harlem Public that makes a nice poutine, actually.
All right.
Up here where I live. And I trust that. It's very heavy, though.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, you're going to, like, crap your pants after 100%.
I don't plan on moving after I eat.
No. No. Don't have any plans afterwards.
Couldn't look my wife in the eye. I had to.
That's my one thing.
Yeah.
No, that you have my to eat it by yourself. It's not you. It's like a solo act. No one's around while you're eating the poutine.
I understand why it comes from Canada, because it's colder up there, and we need that to warm you up.
We need a little fat layer on our bodies to like keep it together. But that's like a big thing in Toronto. Is like after a night of drinking, all the poutineries stay open late.
Okay. So that's your halal. Is poutine.
Yes,
or 100%. Your tacos, like your late night taco.
Exactly. Because, so many of the different poutineries, I mean, there's obviously just like the original, then they do them like kind of like nacho style, or they can do like a Montreal smoked meat version on top. It's really endless options.
So there's layers to this game. It's not
It's not just your standard.
I'm a classic gal, but if you want to get adventurous and add some meat on there, add some different sauces, be my guest. Okay, but I like to keep it OG, definitely. Whew. Yeah, and then fast food restaurants too. We've got Harvey's, which is great. Harvey's is when we have Swiss Chalet, which is like a roast chicken spot. That's amazing. I've been really missing that, but you can buy Swiss Chalet sauce on Amazon. You can buy it.
I love it. So you're getting it sent straight to the house.
Oh my God. Yeah, you can get great Taco Bell sauce in bulk, and you can subscribe to that, by the way.
And subscribe.
You can subscribe. Yeah.
Smart. Save 10%.
I was very pleased to find out how much of a fan you are of fast food, because I saw your American mukbang, because there are some places that you weren't familiar with, because being from Canada, and I was very happy to find out that you love Taco Bell.
I love Taco Bell, but I had not had Del Taco.
Right, and then you had Del Taco. So where would you put the hierarchy of American taco fast food?
Oh, Taco Bell will always reign supreme.
It's the king, right?
I love Taco Bell. I will eat a soft taco supreme at any time. I absolutely love them. I love the taco. They're like Taco Bell fries are amazing.
Underrated fries.
Taco Bell fries.
The nacho fries will like. They're amazing.
I did not know it existed. Also, I'm not a Taco Bell girl.
Taco Bell.
What do you do?
Is great.
What's your I don't do Taco Bell. I don't do it.
What do you?
If I were to eat Taco Bell, which is rare, I get a cheesy gordita crunch.
Okay, respectable.
Because I want all of the textures.
Okay, I respect that. What about those cinnamon twist things? Do you get down with those?
No, I don't.
Wow.
I don't know what the people are eating at Taco Bell.
I mean,
it's a vast menu. I will say. There's quite the variety, which I was surprised when I went to Del Taco. I was like, wait, you guys have like fish sandwiches and like hamburgers as well? I thought we were just doing tacos here. I had no idea. But I do still have a list of American fast food establishments that I must go to. I've not had White Castle.
Okay, come to Jersey. Come meet with me.
It's right?
The land of White
Castle. That is another where you need to just set aside the day and go alone.
And it's like a bowel cleanser, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I get it. See, but sometimes you need that. That's how we like. It's a cleanse.
I don't even like it. But we were near one yesterday, and I almost turned the corner and asked my man to get some, but I didn't do it. I changed my life in that very moment. I was strong.
We have to hold on to our dignity some way, right?
Renee, what was WWE catering like? I feel like. Everyone wants to know what's going on backstage with the storylines and the characters. I want to know, what are they feeding you guys
on the
Raw taping days? Is the food good? Are the guys like complaining about it? Like, where does it lay?
So I always appreciated it. But, you know, there is some like bland things. It was like the salt and pepper chicken that we'd all joke, be like, oh, everyone go get more salt and pepper chicken. Like, no one wants to have that. But then, so what they used to do, and they stopped doing this a few years ago, when we would do tapings, it would be like on pay-per-view week. We'd do like a pay-per-view on Sunday, travel, do Raw on Monday, travel, tape SmackDown on Tuesday to air on Friday or whenever it was airing. And but on that Tuesday after a pay-per-view, we would do breakfast for dinner and catering.
Oh,
and that was the shit. Like just the like the best pancakes, huevos rancheros, different egg dishes, the best bacon, always crispy, never floppy, not a piece amiss. They were incredible.
This sounds like almost like school lunch, where it's like, oh, it's breakfast day.
And yeah, but like, they were loving
we
this.
We would get so excited for it, like different waffles. Like, what are they going to bust out today? So it could be really great. But then, you know, over the years, I feel like it did sort of die down a little bit, that there would always be sort of staples, like some kind of a soup.
Okay. Because it usually sounds like from like watching Ride Along and listening to your podcast, like, after the show is when everyone goes to eat. Like, after the Raw taping, you just drive and find something that's actual food.
Well, the thing is that catering shuts down partway through the show.
Oh, I see.
So catering shuts down. Say the show goes on the air at 8 by, like, yeah, by about 8:30, catering is shutting down. So they have styrofoam boxes. If you want to pack something up and take it with you, by all means, go for it. But otherwise, yeah, you have it so often. Like, when I first started WWE, I was, like, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. I walked into catering. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Like, I was so excited about it. Because they do have a great salad bar, great dessert, some of the best cookies ever. Like, dessert-wise, they don't mess around. But everyone's walking up. Like, you're going on to do TV or, you know, for the people that are going to wrestle, they're obviously really trying to avoid that. I'm like, my jumpsuit has a little give. I can
Someone has to wrestle in their underwear. They might have to scare cookies.
They,
right?
100%. And they are like a trap. There's something in those damn cookies.
When you're brand new, is it like the school cafeteria? Like, do you know where to go sit? Like, do you have your friend, like the cool kid table, the weird kid table?
I guess it kind of can be like that a little bit. Because, I mean, any situation, especially like any work situation, any kind of social setting, there ends up being different versions of cliques within everything anyways. But I always consider myself like pretty malleable in those situations that like, this spot's open. I'll go hang over here. See what's happening with these people. Or like the crew table's open. I'm going to go see like what the guys in lighting and audio are up to today. Yeah. So you know, you kind of bop around depending on who's there. But I was like, I'm a bit of a grazer, so I would usually like pop in, grab some things, walk out, make like a little half sandwich and keep walking. So it depends. Also, sometimes you're like during the day, you have like your people that like your day kind of consists around.
Right.
Like, especially when I was doing commentary, I'm always with Michael Cole and Corey Graves, and Cole usually wanders off to do his own thing. But like Graves and I would sometimes, we would just like, head into catering together. Or like, hey, meet me in catering. Mm-hmm. Check, you know. You have your buddies at work that you end up hanging out with and shooting the shit with. And John was always a hard one to track down because he just eats granola bars before everything.
Yeah, so I listened to your where Emilio Sparks interviewed you last night. And you talked about your husband being a picky eater. And you're a very adventurous eater.
Yeah.
My wife is also very picky, like to the point where like I introduced her to guacamole, which is not like crazy at all, right? It's just like, this is like... Come on, babe. This is not insane. Yeah. Like, wait till we get to chicken feet or something. Yeah. So have you been able to get him to try new things, or is he sticking to the granola and the pepper chicken?
Here's some bullshit. So I always try to like be like, hey, do you want this? Or like, what do you want for dinner? I'll cook this and cook this and whatever. And like, I'm always kind of offering that up to him. And he's like, man, I don't know, whatever. I'll just have a sandwich later. I don't care. He's very passive about the whole thing. But now my mom's in town. She's like, oh, I made you some pork chops. I did this. And he like, he's like, great. Like, he'll just sit down and eat anything that she cooks. So I'm like, wait, why are you not doing this for me?
Right.
There's some serious favoritism happening here. And I'm making it known here. I know. I guess he's being nice. He's being polite. Yeah. It's funny because my mom would be like, oh, does John like this? Will he eat this? I'm like, I might pick at it. And he wolfs the whole thing down. I'm like, all right, prove me
wrong.
Sounds
like he just likes hot food.
No, he doesn't. He eats everything cold.
What?
Yes. I'll cook dinner. So like generally like I'll cook myself dinner. Like I'll cook both of our dinners, but like I'll eat mine after I make it. His will sit on the counter. This is messed up. Hold on to your asses.
We're holding.
He will take his dinner. He eats his dinner in fucking bed before we fall asleep.
Yo, I actually appreciate that. Why are we mad at that? I love a good eating bed.
You understand
I love
the
eating bed.
It's just, it's the mess. It's dishes that are left. And then my dogs. My dogs are all over him. Like, they'll come under, like, the blankets with me. And then as soon as he pulls out his sandwich, they're like, they come back up.
Where does he keep the sandwich? Wait a minute.
On the bedside table. He literally does not come to bed without a sandwich or a wrap.
This man is a legend.
So you're sitting at a table with your utensils and your napkin, and you're having, like, a normal
I mean, I'll sit, like, at, like, the, you know, by the TV, like, on our couch kind of picking up my food. But yeah, he will eat everything cold. I'll be like, oh, do you want me to wrap this up and put it in the fridge? He's like, no, still gonna eat it. It just sits out for hours.
Interesting.
I don't know, man.
Are you worried about your baby picking some of these?
I am incredibly worried about that.
I get him a little bit. I can be like this, where I like don't want the food to be super hot because I want to be able to wolf it down. And I also want to be able to wolf it down in a bed. So what better time to just bring a sandwich to your night table and secretly eat it while your wife maybe is sleeping?
Well, and that's fine. I mean, go for it. So long as you're eating something, I'm okay with it. Here's my issue, though, is he's a big sauce guy, and he wipes his fingers on the sheets.
That's rude. Do you have multicolored sheets? Get multicolored sheets. No white sheets in this house.
No. Everything's multicolored. Yeah, no, okay. Nothing can be picked up on. Absolutely
not. Just a sauce-colored sheet.
Oh my god!
Custom made.
And listen, I've tried to battle this for years. At this point, you know, 7-8 years in, I'm like, it is what it is.
One's getting hurt, right? Just the
mean, there's sometimes that I'm like, are you digesting food okay? Like, is it okay? I don't know.
His body's holding it in. I mean, that's a real good character move. You know, they always say you have to pull in from reality. And if I heard a guy say, "I eat in bed and wipe the sauce on my sheets," I would be very scared.
That's powerful.
Yeah,
it is. It's confidence. Maximum confidence.
It is. So,
yeah.
Because who's going to tell you no? The dog?
The dogs love it. The dogs wait for him. So we have a bulldog and like a chihuahua mix. Every single morning, the chihuahua will always be like, "Let's get up and play." And he's like down to clown. Where the bulldog, I've got to like hoist his ass out of bed, but
he's dense.
He won't come down the stairs with me until he wanders over to John's side of the bed to see what's been dropped through the night.
Right.
They have a system. They both have a system. Yeah.
This is beautiful.
So, Renee, you've traveled the entire globe, really. What would be your top food cities on the planet? Like, do you have some sleepers? Do you have some go-tos?
There's a place in Memphis that we would always go to called Westies, and it was like right around the corner from the hotel that we would stay in. They just had incredible barbecue, like little joint that was like not on Beale Street. So it was still like away from everything there. They're not open 24 hours, but they're open super late, which is incredibly helpful when we get into a room at, you know, 1 a.m.
Right.
So that place was a huge one for us. We would get like pumped anytime we're in Memphis. We're like, it's Westies time. So we would go there. Nashville's obviously one that I love. Give me some Nashville hot chicken day. I will always do it. And just like the food scene, the restaurant scene there is great, much as it is in like Austin, obviously. Like there's so many great places out there. In Seattle, like we're more so like dive bar finders.
Okay.
I like to seek out a good dive bar. Yeah. Seattle, there's a great spot, which the name I'm drawing a blank on now, but it's just above the Pike Place Market, and they like sell a bunch of popcorn and booze, and it's great. It's a great little hole in the wall spot. I have a bunch of them in Toronto that I couldn't even, it's no point in me even really listing them off here because there's a million of them. where else are places that we like to go to eat or drink?
What about Vegas? Is everything just like the buffet stuff, or do you find like real sit down restaurants that locals know about?
There's a ton of great restaurants in Vegas that are like, because we don't go to the strip really ever.
Sure, right.
It's like going to
Times Square if you live in New York,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. You're not really bothering, and like we're not big, like when we party at home. We keep it local. Right. There's actually the Chinatown in Las Vegas is really great.
Yeah,
there's tons of like, and it's really like a ton of stuff is like really popping up out there of like different really cool restaurants. I went to this other place downtown just off of Fremont Street recently called Carson Kitchen, and they have really great food there. Just like a really fun, cool menu. They had like a Hawaiian pasta that I was interested in because I do a Hawaiian fried rice in my cookbook, and I was like, oh, what's this like? But it's like these really great cuts of Spam, nicely crisped up with like the pineapple. Yeah. And it was served cold, which I was kind of into. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, in Vegas, there's so many different places that are off the strip that have a ton to offer. Yeah. Anytime people come to town, I'm like, go here, go check out all these other spots.
Oh, I love a good Spam.
I hear that. I've never tried. So
yeah.
I'm
there's a ton of great spots. You would love it. I don't know your palate, but I can.
I'll hit you up next time I go to Vegas.
Please do.
Like, where am I eating?
Please do.
We'll eat anything, really. That's
This is true.
That's the genesis of this podcast. Yeah. Thanks. So, how did you whittle down like what to put in the book? Because I feel like I'd be like, oh, I want to just put everything I know how to make. I don't know, like, but I'm sure you had a page count and like you had to pick like, you know, a theme.
Well, I wouldn't even say there's like necessarily a theme. So it was like, I started writing the cookbook and like manifesting doing this cookbook forever ago.
Right.
So I had maybe like 10 to 15 recipes that I've been like kind of writing down and like, oh, this would be good in like this book that I want to write one day. And then when I finally, you know, convinced somebody to actually let me write a cookbook, they're like, okay, we need 60 to 70 recipes. And I was like,
oh my
God.
So many recipes.
I have to do those? Okay.
We should do a collab instead. That's too many recipes for one person.
Well, also, when you're not actually a chef.
Yeah.
Like, I love to cook. Right. Love to cook. I love being in the kitchen. But, like, that was the thing that was, like, the really interesting part of it was, like, sort of like that confidence builder of yourself. Of like, well, we're doing this. It's like, fake it till you make it. You've got to come up with these recipes and come up with things that you like. And as I was kind of, you know, picturing what I wanted this to look like, I was just thinking of what some of my favorite foods are and what I could do as a spin on that or, like, different versions of things that I wanted to make as my own. Like doing the French onion soup grilled cheese. That was a big one where I love French onion soup. Who doesn't? Let's turn it into a sandwich. To do a shepherd's pie pierogi. Love me a good pierogi. Let's stuff it with something different. Why not?
Yes.
And then, you know, also just blending different things that I had had throughout my journeys of having like a corn soup when I went to Japan with my husband and I had never had just like a straight corn soup before. Rocked my world. So I wanted to like recreate something like that. It's like, it's not quite a chowder, but it's, I guess it could be kind of chowder-esque. It's still like pureed smooth.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like it was really just finding the things that I wanted to put my own spin on. And actually I was really lucky because my mom had found a bunch of my grandmother's recipe cards.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she sent me a ton, which is where the Hawaiian fried rice came from. Hers was just a Hawaiian rice. I felt like it needed to be fried because it got very gummy.
Right.
So I ended up doing a fried rice version of that. And I also got like a scotch egg recipe from her.
Oh yeah.
That I put in there. Yeah. So it was really nice to be able to like lean on some of my grandmother's recipes a little bit as
I'm
was
so
like,
excited
figuring
to
it
do
all
your
out.
Recipes, Renee. This is really, so
I
when you're
wait.
Writing the cookbook, are you literally like finding the ratios and the measure? That sounds like the hardest part.
That is the hardest part.
I'm a good home cook, but I'm a very, in the Asian style of like learning from my mom and my grandma, you don't measure anything. No, you don't really.
Exactly.
Yeah. A handful of salt. Who knows?
Totally. That's where I am. So when I'd actually have to measure stuff, I'm like, God, that sounds like it's a lot. Is that how much I'm actually putting in?
Right.
That when you're actually having to measure stuff out and you're writing it down and trying to figure out like, does that sound crazy? Is that what actually works? So, and I think that I have like a bit of like a salty palate. I do.
I love salt.
Bloat me up and let's call it a day.
Roll me around.
Honestly.
My wife's family is very anti-salt. So whenever I cook for them, they're like, the flavor. And it's salt. Guys.
It's simply salt.
This is salt. It's very good.
Oh my
good.
God. Yeah. That's like the tricky thing when you're cooking for other people. And I kind of like talk about that in the book. I'm like, listen, I walk into a room like, kind of like tongue first. I'm like, what am I going to eat? What's around here? Like, I'm very adventurous when it comes to that. When like I'm cooking for other people, I'm like, do they enjoy these bold tastes as much as I do? I hope so. Like, I do like an anchovy popcorn. Which I was like, I know people are going to read that and be like, I don't think so.
No, I don't think that sounds bad at all.
It's amazing.
Salty goodness.
It's like all that like salty umami goodness. And I do kind of like, you know, we talked about John being a picky eater, and he's a big fan of that because it's not fishy at all. The anchovies completely melt down into the butter sauce.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's heaven. You just toss your popcorn in it. It's just like this little je ne sais quoi. It's very good.
A lot of cooking is about lying to people, too. Totally. Like, you can't tell someone it's anchovy because they're like, I don't like anchovies. Totally. I literally just lied to my friend. She doesn't like spicy food. And I made her enchiladas, and it had spice all up in it. Yeah. And she's like, is there anything spicy in this? I was like, no, nope. Girl. I maybe some of the sauce. I don't really know. And she's like, yeah, it's so good. It's a made recipe. There are chilies in there. Straight up chilies.
Yeah, you have to bullshit people all the time.
Lie.
Yep.
I don't feel good about it. But I now do. She knows. She's right here.
I feel great about it. I feel like I've won. I'm like, see, I told you that shit. And you just thought that you didn't because it was in your head because someone told you you didn't 100 years ago.
That's exactly what happens to people. They convince themselves that they don't like something.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's always a version of something you can find that they will enjoy for
like
sure.
Like, I have a close friend of mine hates tomatoes, and it really bums me out.
That's they're a bummer. Wrong.
Yeah, like, who doesn't
tomatoes
want
tomatoes? Are in
like,
everything, too.
My friend, too, doesn't everything. Like tomatoes.
Yeah, like, yeah, I want just, like, a straight tomato sandwich.
Yeah. There is,
yeah, like, I want all that. Like, yeah, it's really hard. Like, John doesn't like mushroom, or not mushroom, sorry. He doesn't like garlic or onions.
Oh, no. I put garlic and onion in everything. Like I always everything. Double my garlic in recipes, garlic. Too, because I love
give
it.
Give me all of that. Mm-hmm. So, I often lie to him.
Yeah,
about what's in the food.
He needs to
you
be know, lied
you
to,
can
sorry.
Get garlic so granular that they will never know.
Oh, no. It's and just once it's cooked down, I'm like, okay, if you don't like raw onion.
I get that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Fine. But let me cook it, and then we'll have a conversation.
But it becomes
about
so
it.
Many different. Garlic and onion become so many different things that how could you even. Like, a roasted garlic is not the same as garlic.
Totally.
Regular chopped. I'm just upset now.
Yeah. No, I know. Me too.
Keep so lying to people.
It's funny because I'll be like in the kitchen cooking and he'll be like looking over to be like, are you putting all that in there? Is that what's going in the meal? I'm like, yeah, just go do something else. Don't you have like a workout
you're
to do?
Eat
or
it
like
cold by the bedside anyway.
Exactly.
What does it matter?
Exactly.
It's ending up on the sheets. Come on.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Honestly.
Renee, one of the really cool things why I'm really excited for the cookbook is that, you know, like I said, we talk about the intersection of food and culture here. And in your cookbook, you have like songs that are picked out and quotes that are picked out that kind of like go with each dish. Is that right? That's really cool. How do you pick like what fits the mood of a dish?
Okay, so I didn't necessarily have it for each dish. And that was something in hindsight that I was like, oh, I kind of wish I did do that actually. But what I did, so at the beginning of each chapter has different quotes. There's like a Bill Burr quote. There's a Dolly Parton, Miss Piggy.
Eat garlic, oh, dude. Fuck, dude.
Oh my God.
I don't even know what accent that is.
It's my Bill Burr accent.
Oh,
I thought that was your Dolly Parton. I was confused.
Oh, is that like, oh God.
Do not right. besmirch Dolly Parton in front of me. Hell no.
No, we love Dolly.
Who doesn't love Dolly?
That's true.
So it was finding those different quotes that I wanted to put in. It actually started off with wanting to do the Mitch Hedberg, his whole bit on club sandwiches. So that was where it kind of started. And I was like, oh, I'll put that at like the beginning of like my sandwich section. And I was like, oh, maybe I should like find some other like fun, good food quotes from people that I like, and just add a little more like personality, a little more zip behind it. But then at the very back of the book, there's a QR code. So I have put together playlists. So there's about 6 different playlists just for different moods, whether you're having like a romantic evening, you're having a girls' night, you're having like drinks and a barbecue. So I just kind of, you know, I had in mind what I really wanted to put in there, but then I also reached out to like some other trusted friends that I believe that had good taste, and they would also contribute to me putting these lists together. So that was just something that I thought was just like a really cool interactive thing to add in there. I mean, who doesn't love to eat and who doesn't love music, you know?
100%. Every time I cook, I have to put something on my record player just because it's all part of the thing.
The experience.
It is. Yes, it's all part of that experience. And for me, it's like having a big glass of wine, being in the kitchen, chopping up a bunch of things, braising things, stewing things. Like I like to be in the kitchen.
And that's some sort of my best memories as a kid is just hanging out in the kitchen and watching someone cook. Yeah.
The kitchen is like the epicenter of everyone's house. So it's like
the heart.
It is. Yeah. Like having, you know, just those different smells and the different memories and having music to kind of back that up. I think those things all go hand in hand for creating memories that will, you know, really last for people. So I hope it translates to that.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
Oh, very excited for
you. Yeah. Very sold.
Yeah.
But wait, now we should talk about some news.
All right, food, let's go over news. A little food news food now that news. Okay. We know all of the wonderful things about Renee's book and her life and her career.
And Watawa, let's not leave out Watawa, Astoria here.
Oh, yeah.
Go Watawa.
To, if you're in New York, make the you know, there's no more NQR. It's the NW now. They got rid of the Q. The Q only goes to
May
Manhattan.
She rest.
Yeah.
May she rest.
That's right. It stays on the east side, does not go into Astoria anymore. Bless very that. Upsetting. Very, very upsetting.
Yeah, that is sad.
This, Renee, when I'm already a huge fan of yours, but last night I listened to your interview and you were like, you love dark meat. And you love chicken thighs. And I'm like, thank God, because a lot of people hate dark meat because it's that
pussies.
Adventurous side that they're
exactly. They're afraid. Pussies, what are you afraid of? I don't understand, but racism.
What's gonna happen?
That's right. That's the name of this episode. Renee Young says you're a pussy for not eating chicken. But there was this article in Bloomberg that was like America's finally embracing dark meat chicken. And I felt like that was very alienating. Because Ariel and I talk about how, like, we grew up eating dark meat all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting to me that, like, people have grown up and have thought forever that the breast meat is the best part of the chicken.
But such, yeah. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, listen, everyone always wants to talk about being on a budget. Get the dark meat, everybody.
Chicken thighs are so much cheaper and
so
much better.
They're
so
cheap and so much better. Yes. Like you, and also like buy your meat on the bone.
Yes.
Let's also be doing more of that because that's a game changer. Like I made pork chops the other night and they were not on the bone. And boy, did I regret it.
Yep.
Yeah. It was what was there. So I got it. I had my heart set on making, you know, a pork chop, but having it on the bone is the way to go. You get so much more flavor. You get more of that fat and people are so afraid of fat. Let's not be afraid of the fat.
Fat
we need
is necessary.
The fat.
Salt, fat, acid, heat, everybody. Yep.
Exactly. Exactly.
People eat the chicken breast, and I don't think anyone actually likes it, though.
No,
because
all anyone says is like, I hate chicken breast. It's dry. It's bland.
Yeah.
It's like, well, then let's stop eating the chicken breast.
Yeah.
I told Brian that I just bought some. And he was like, I only buy it for my dogs.
My
dogs eat bland. And I was like, fuck you, Brian. God.
Treat your dogs. Give them that dark meat.
I should give them some thighs, yeah.
They deserve.
Honestly, no, it's so much better.
So versatile, too. I do fried chicken with chicken thighs. It's so much better.
Oh,
chicken
my gosh. Yeah. I do barbecue chicken thighs a lot. That's 100%, like a staple in this household, big time.
It's funny, though, because when people go and get, like, a chicken taco, like, what do you think that chicken is? They're not making taco
That's
meat
right.
with breast meat.
That's softy meat you're tasting. Dark meat, baby.
Exactly.
That's softy, delicious.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
It's just,
cold.
I think things just get so ingrained in everyone's brain. I think from like when we're kids and like, I was definitely like, I was raised on having white meat. Like that was always a thing where it's like, but then, you know, when you sort of open your mind, you're like, wait, this is actually like these other meats are much better. Like you're having like a turkey Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever. Everyone's like, I just want the breast. I want the breast. It's like, no, give me those thighs. Give me that dark meat. And also for the leftovers, are you crazy?
Oh, are you crazy? Right. Yeah.
Are you crazy? Have the dark meat.
I've told
Let's
this story on the
longevity.
Podcast millions of times. My wife is a white person. And my very first Thanksgiving with her family, they were about to throw away all the dark meat. And I go up to her dad like, no, I will eat all of it.
Just give it to me. I'll make sandwiches.
Shame. Yeah.
But now
Terrible.
She's on the dark meat kick.
Yeah.
Just try it, people. It will change your life. It 100% will change your life.
It will. And it really is. People just have ideas ingrained in their brains and they do. People don't like change.
No.
People get so freaked out by change in any capacity. And I think like, especially food, like for me, I will try any food. If somebody else is eating it and they're not going to like get sick or like die from it, I'm like, yeah, I'll try it. I'll try anything.
I feel you 100%.
Why rob yourself of that experience? Try
it. You have to go nose to toes on this. Chicken feet, delicious.
Yes.
I love chicken feet.
I want
to
try.
I've actually not. You have not had them.
I would, Renee, when you can, I would say there's got to be a dim sum spot in the Chinatown in Las Vegas and order the chicken feet.
Okay.
You just got to get the feet part of it out of your head. But once it's in your mouth,
it's fine. It's
it's like
We're
meat jello.
Time.
You don't even need to chew it. It's incredible.
So a friend of mine, we were actually just talking about this because he cooks chicken feet a lot. And we, you know, we've had this conversation. He's always telling me, I've not cooked it myself. I'm certainly not opposed to it. I've just not done it. But yeah, that will be the next adventure that I need to really lean into.
Yeah.
I'm down. Chicken feet. I'm down. Do you fry them?
It's steamed in this like very nice dark soy sauce and ginger, garlic, scallions on top. You just get it down to like it's falling off the bone. And there's only really a few bones in there. There's quite a few bones in the foot, but it all separates. And then you get all the like the muscle and the collagen. And it's so good.
It's you must be able to get a great broth out of that, too.
Yes,
right?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that. That's what I like. That's all the stuff that I want post baby. I keep reading about all these different broths and like having all the different collagen and all and how like good that's supposed to be.
Oh, God,
for your
the
body
broth
afterward.
Industry.
Oh, right.
Millennials are ruining the broth industry. There's a whole thing now. I went to the store and there was a whole wall of broths. I'm like, this needs to stop. We could make our own broths, people. Make your own broth.
Yeah.
You have bones.
It's true.
From the food that you buy, just make your own delicious broth.
Also, who doesn't own a slow cooker? Just pop it in that bad boy and leave it overnight. You're good to go.
The end.
And it'll be incredible. Your whole house will smell amazing, too.
Yes. Yeah.
It'll smell like Thanksgiving. You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome.
Let's move on to our final news piece of the day. So America being in America, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. If you showed your vaccination card to Krispy Kreme, you get a free donut. And it's unlimited. You can just do it every day. You can just show
it. I did it. I got my donut.
Oh my God.
It was free. It tasted better than regular.
Of course it did. Was like the Krispy Kreme sign on? So it was like fresh and ready to go?
No, they just, they know that you're coming in to get a free donut and they're tired of you. So they have it ready and they just throw it at you.
And who cares?
There's no ceremony. They're like, okay, bitch, we know what you're here for. And they threw a packet of donut at me and
I felt a little bad about it.
Right into your mouth.
Because I didn't order anything else. I'm sure people feel guilty and they're like, I'm also going to get a coffee and like a dozen donuts. No, I went there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Free donut.
It's been a pandemic. Do what you want.
Give me my free donut.
And I've become quite donut obsessed.
Oh.
I normally, obviously donuts are great. We all know this is not new information, but I, like we were saying before, I really have a savory palate, but during my whole pregnancy, I now have a sweet tooth and I want like cakey things. So like having donuts, like I went to the grocery store the other day and I like shame eat it in my car before I get home.
Nobody saw anything.
That's what that is. Yeah. 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 No, it's insane. I like eat it in the car, toss it away. But there's a really great spot here called Pink Box Donuts and they deliver and they have just, their donuts are so good. I actually used them in part of my maternity shoot because you have to
get
those donuts out there, eat them off my belly. Let's get down to it. I love a donut these days though. Oh my God. That's a donut or like a cinnamon bun.
Yeah.
I need that now. I have a mini donut maker at home that I've not used. Why have I not used it?
Why haven't you? What is happening? Who are you?
No, I'm not. I don't even know why. I don't know. I have a duty now.
You do. There's a mission.
I'm following Pink Box Donuts now. By the way.
Yeah. No, they're great. Check them out. They make amazing donuts.
I think they're in LA too, and I had them there.
They're
so
heaven.
Good. Yeah. Oh,
it says so good. You'll lick the box.
Cakey donuts, right? Yeah. So good.
They've got so many different kinds and they always like switch up the menu a lot. They're really, really great.
Yeah, I got really into like lemon icing.
I made lots of lemon loaves and lemon icing.
Lemon icing's great. I also really love a good maple glaze.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maple glaze is really good.
That's that Canadian in you.
Totally. But honestly, if I had to pick like one donut for the rest of my life, it would just be like an old-fashioned plain. I love just like a plain-ass donut. Like the little crispy bits on the inside. Yep. Ooh.
The best donut I ever had was in Portland, Maine. They had sweet potato donuts, like a cake donut. It was stupid. It was very, very good. It was really just cakey and wonderful. And that's how I like my donuts. So.
Yeah, I like them cakey too. Have you had voodoo donuts?
I have.
Voodoo donuts are pretty good those too. Good. They're pretty wild.
They go pretty crazy too with bacon and cereal. Yeah. And they go all out.
The thing with the bacon on a donut though that I can't always get down with is like if there's a chewy bit in there, it needs to be crispy.
Yeah,
bacon.
It has to be. If you get like an older one that's been sitting there for a while, lose the effect.
No. Sure. Yeah, it's just the grease has stopped through. It's not good.
I worked at a donut place for much of pandemic, and I would make the bacon for the donuts, and I always made it extra crispy.
So thank you. Thank you for your service. Frontline worker.
What a girl.
It's all in the make sure you bake the bacon. It's not frying. You have to bake the bacon.
In the oven. Yeah. Controversial, but you got to
It's not.
It.
Effective. It's not. It's that people
controversial
don't know.
Yet effective. Yeah.
Yep.
Because people often botch doing their bacon in a pan.
Oh, it's either under or over.
Always, because you get a little bit nervous and you pull it out too early, or if you leave, it's a slippery slope.
Or you get a half and half.
Actual cooking of it is kind of incorrect when you do it frying, because you're only getting one kind of like sear at the bottom, and then the other gets almost like soggy.
Yeah.
So when you're in the oven, you're getting full 360 degree heat, hot,
give me that.
Crispy,
see?
Goodness.
Almost getting into the science of it.
It's smart. Also,
I really did read that. That's true. That's
you're
legit.
Also not getting splashed with the grease.
Right. That's very true. A safer bet.
So many t-shirts
bet.
Ruined yeah. from making
oh my
bacon.
God.
Eyes
Jesus.
Splotched out from grease.
There's nothing
yes.
worse than that. Like, shit.
I like this outfit. Yeah. So not only can you get donuts now with your vaccination card in New York, you can get a free side of fries. And this story is just so fun. Like, I feel like we're the only country in the world that has to bribe people with fast food
incentives.
To get
I love
the
it.
Vaccine. Like, the vaccine should be its own gift. It's like you don't die.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. You're healthy.
The gift that keeps on giving.
But in America, it's like, no, we have to throw food at everybody.
Who's giving away the fries?
Shake Shack is.
But you have to buy a burger. It's all a lie. Oh. You have to buy the burger to get the fries to say, like, I was vaccinated. Here's my fries.
I mean, that
I actually
makes sense.
Had Shake Shack the other day, and it was not good. And I love Shake Shack, but it was
I love
not
Shake Shack too.
Great. Yeah, no, Shake Shack is my jam. I love it. But I ordered it the other day. And
I'm an In-N-Out hardliner.
Okay. All right.
So it's tough being on the East Coast. I'm from the West Coast originally. Okay. And there is a big feud between the two. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. I'm an In-N-Out radical.
Fair enough. Hey, you got to sit on one side of the fence, so I respect it. Right. We're on Shake Shack, you're on In-N-Out.
He's made a decision.
But there's In-N-Out in Vegas.
We've got In-N-Out here. I mean, of course it's delicious. Okay. I do love it, but I do give the lean to Shake Shack for sure. Also, their chicken's really good.
Renee.
Yeah.
Okay, so
you.
That's the thing. They
Shake
have the
Shack's
chicken sandwich,
too.
Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
burger to burger.
Have you had... There, it's like a cheesy mushroom sandwich that they have at Shake Shack.
Yeah,
that shit is delicious and molten, and you'll
it's
burn
really
your mouth, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, so and they have like bacon cheese fries.
Yes, they do.
So this is my argument every time I have this debate with the Shake Shack people. You guys always go to the chicken, the mushroom, and the bacon fries, and In-N-Out, all we got is the burger, and that's the king.
Yes, but the burger is also good. I'm just telling you other things you can get.
The burger is what I have. But I do like those options. And I will say just another option that they have, because I ordered it not knowing that it was the vegetarian chicken, the like fake chicken.
Oh.
But they had it was like
a seitan.
It was like a kimchi chicken sandwich.
What?
And it was amazing.
Where?
It was at Shake Shack.
Wow.
But where? It's probably like regional, because we don't have anything like that.
Oh, maybe. This was not long ago. This was in the last like 3 months.
Maybe they're testing it out.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was very good. Yeah, like the kimchi chicken sandwich was awesome.
All right. Well, I will definitely, if it comes out here, I will break down. I do like their chicken sandwich, though, for sure.
No, you guys, I want to move to Ohio, because instead of giving away free food, they're putting your name in a lottery if you got the vaccine, and you could win $1 million.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everyone do that? Because I would have gotten my vaccine the moment it came out. I mean, I did, but still.
You would have done it even faster.
Even faster, immediately.
Yeah. Huh. I like the incentives, though. I got to get mine. I've not had mine yet because I'm pregnant. I've put it off.
Oh, she's pregnant.
Yeah, but you can. I think people are still getting pregnant, but I literally have like 3 weeks left in my pregnancy. So I'm just going to ride it out. Plus, I've already had it. I got COVID. So I have the antibodies. Still.
Yeah, I had COVID too, Renee. We're survivors.
We are survivors.
I'm not 100%
clear. COVID can suck a big one.
Huge one.
Yeah.
A huge, dirty one.
100% whether or not I had it, but I probably had it.
Renee, before we wrap things up, I feel like the world is now your oyster. You're doing whatever you want. Ellen is leaving. Is that like a type of job you would want
to?
Here's the thing. I'm a big fan of yours, and I felt like everything WWE threw at you, you knocked it out of the park. I think you've talked about how you didn't love doing commentary, but I thought you were great at that, too.
Thank you.
you've traveled the world. There's a huge vacuum left by Anthony Bourdain passing away.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah.
Would you do like an Ellen type show? Would you rather do a Bourdain type travel show? Ooh. Are you open to stuff like that?
God, I mean, yeah, doing
both of those things.
Both of those things are so up my alley. And like you said, like Bourdain obviously left this like huge vacancy when he stepped away, and he is just such a. I mean, you know, we can talk about how excellent Anthony Bourdain is for this entire episode. He's fantastic. But to try to, I think so many people, like when you go into like pitch shows, it's like, I can be like the female Anthony Bourdain. It's like, all right, lady.
Yeah.
But that, like something like that would be great to like just doing that combination of travel and food and delving into the culture. Like that stuff that I really love that he was able to do was like really getting into a culture and peeling back all these layers and like talking to really fascinating people. And that's something that I started doing with my podcast where like, I really want to have, like, I just love talking to people. So to be able to intertwine those things, but yeah, I mean, obviously like looking at what Ellen's been able to do with that platform, something in there would be great. I always have said, I'm like, oh, to have like a Kelly Ripa kind of gig, but obviously, you know, Ellen falls in that same category. Mm-hmm. But something like that, I would absolutely love to do. And I think as I kind of keep my foot on the gas pedal, now that I've stepped away from WWE, my book is out, I'm going to drop a baby like it's hot real quick. And then I'm excited to kind of step back into the world. Now as things are opening back up, like I left WWE like in the peak of a pandemic. So everything was closed, not a lot was going on. But then I found out I was pregnant like 2 weeks after. So started doing my podcast and it's been great. But yeah, I'm excited on the other side of things to now kind of pop my head up above water and be like, now what do we get to do?
Yeah. You kind of planned everything or everything happened kind of perfectly, right?
She didn't plan it.
Serendipitous. Did work out.
What does she know? What does she know?
Yeah. It's weird. Things work out sometimes. I like put some good shit out there and hope that maybe it'll be returned to me. So we'll see.
That's cool. So Renee's book is in Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. Where can like people follow you online? Where can they find you?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, just at Renee Paquette, P-A-Q-U-E-T-T-E. I know that one's a speller. Sorry. And I do my podcast that comes out every Tuesday and Thursday. You can listen to that anywhere you guys get podcasts. It's called Oral Sessions. And yeah, and then my cookbook, it's at Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon, Indigo, if you're in Canada. Just give a little search and you'll be able to find it.
Messy in the kitchen. Ariel, where can we follow you?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, at Ariel Lieti. I'm out here doing things, you know, not writing books or making babies, but who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? The world is my oyster.
But you got a free donut, girlfriend.
That's true. Things are different. What about Brian? Where can we find you?
BrianYang.com, at Brian Yang on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening. Renee, thank you so much for joining us. This
thank
was
you,
so
Renee.
Much fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You're the absolute best. What a pro.
Yeah, you're amazing. What a fun time. Thank you, Renee.
Yes, this is a fun chat. Thanks for having me on.
That's the episode. Thank you guys for listening. Goodbye.